Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Tim Cortese. In this week's episode, Dr. Timothy Yap of the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center breaks down recent findings from the Phase 1 MYTHIC trial, which evaluated zetomipzomib and lunresertib in patients with genomically altered solid tumors. He previously presented these results at the 2026 AACR annual meeting. In this Cancer Network exclusive interview, Yap highlights the most significant efficacy and safety signals from the trial, as well as potential future next steps building off this data.
I had the pleasure of presenting the first data disclosure of the Phase 1 trial of the first-in-class combination of the WEE1 inhibitor called zetomipzomib with the PKMYT1 inhibitor called lunresertib in patients with advanced solid tumors harboring CCNE1, FBXW7, or PPP2R1A genomic alterations. Now, the important point to make about these cancers with these alterations is that they represent critical areas of unmet clinical need. We know that these play a key role. For example, CCNE1 amplification induces high replication stress through premature S-phase entry, whilst FBXW7 is an E3 ubiquitin ligase, and it proteolytically degrades cyclin E1, and therefore inactivating FBXW7 mutations actually increase cyclin E1 levels and replication stress. And then PPP2R1A hotspot inactivating mutations actually increase replication stress. And so there are several cancers with these alterations that really represent areas of unmet clinical need with no specific standard of care options that can actually target these alterations. And these include ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, bladder cancer, and different lung cancers as well. And so, you know, we know that cells under high replication stress are more dependent on the G2M transition for DNA damage repair. And we know that WEE1 regulates S-phase replication origin firing and G2M checkpoint phosphorylation of CDK1 at tyrosine 15, whilst in contrast, PKMYT1 regulates G2M cell cycle checkpoint progression through 3-unine-14 phosphorylation of CDK1, and this causes cell cycle arrest. And importantly, we actually have two drugs, zetomipzomib, the WEE1 inhibitor, and lunresertib, the PKMYT1 inhibitor, which are already in phase 1 clinical trials as monotherapy and have already shown manageable safety profiles at their recommended phase 2 doses as monotherapies. And interestingly, what was shown is that WEE1 was actually identified as a top synthetic lethal hit and PKMYT1 chemogenomic screens. And so the whole combination of both of these drugs with zetomipzomib, the WEE1 inhibitor, plus the lunresertib PKMYT1 inhibitor was found to be highly synergistic at, importantly, sublethal doses. And the whole mechanistic premise here is that WEE1 inhibition is thought to exacerbate CCNE1 amplification-induced replication stress during S phase, and at the G2M checkpoint, both WEE1 and PKMYT1 inhibition reduces CDK1 phosphorylation, causing its hyperactivation. And therefore, cells carrying unrepaired DNA damage are then prematurely driven into mitosis, leading to mitotic catastrophe and eventual cell death. And it has been shown in multiple different in vivo models really compelling synergy and regressions with the combination in multiple different tumor types, including those with CCNE1 amplification, cyclin E1 overexpression, and also FBXW7 mutation cancer types, including ovarian, breast, gastric, colorectal cancer, and pancreatic cancers, and others as well. And so all of that provided the preclinical in vitro and in vivo evidence to support the phase 1 clinical trial. And in this phase 1 trial, we used a Bayesian design to combine zetirastat given continuously together with an intermittent schedule of lunresertib given on a 3 days on, 4 days off schedule. And we looked at various different combinations, and we've now identified two preliminary maximum tolerated doses, one with 150 of zetirastat plus 80 of lunresertib, and the other, which was MTD2, which was 260 milligrams of zetirastat given in combination with 60 of lunresertib. During the clinical trial, we enrolled a total of 62 patients. Median age was 61 years. There were more females than males because of the cancer types that were enrolled. All patients had an ECOG performance status of 0 to 1. This was a heavily pretreated patient population with a median of 3 prior lines of therapy and up to 9. 73% of patients had at least 3 prior lines of therapy. The vast majority, 89% of patients, had prior platinum chemotherapy. The most common tumor types included ovarian cancer, followed by colorectal, pancreas, and breast cancers. The majority of patients with ovarian cancer, so 92% of the ovarian cancer patients, were platinum resistant and refractory. The most common alteration that we enrolled onto the trial, 56% of patients had CCNE1 amplification, 39% of patients had FBXW7 mutations, and 6% had PPP. 2R1A mutations. In terms of the safety, the combination was actually safe, well tolerated. The safety profile was manageable and certainly in line with either drug as monotherapy. And the most commonly reported treatment-related adverse events included nausea, vomiting, asthenia, anemia, and rash. And these were mainly grade 1 to grade 2. And importantly, no patients discontinued drug treatment due to treatment-related adverse events. In terms of the pharmacokinetics and combination, lunresertib exposures were approximately dose proportional with a half-life of 6 to 9 hours. And lunresertib exposures in combination were certainly in line with monotherapy exposures at the same dose levels. In combination as well, zetirastat showed an exposure that increased linearly with the dose and a half-life of 3 to 4 days. And the zetirastat exposures in combination with lunresertib were indeed in line with monotherapy exposures at the same dose levels. And to date, importantly, there have been no signs of drug-drug interactions leading to exposure differences in zetirastat. In terms of the pharmacodynamics, we observed target engagement of both zetirastat and lunresertib achieved across multiple different dose levels. And that was evidenced through the use of paired tumor biopsies and the analysis showing phospho-CDK1 reductions. We showed reductions at both the threonine-14 and tyrosine-15 phospho-CDK1, indicating target engagement of both inhibitors. And importantly, we also showed through these paired biopsies, increased gamma H2AX, proving DNA damage induction in the majority of patients. In terms of the efficacy, we observe frequent and deep tumor shrinkage with the combination in heavily pretreated patients across different tumor types. Overall, 51% of 51 patients with target lesions showed tumor shrinkage. 10 patients achieved radiological responses. 7 patients with CCNE1 amplified ovarian cancer, 1 patient with FBXW7 mutation ovarian cancer, 1 patient with CCNE1 amplification and FBXW7 mutation, HR positive, HER2 positive breast cancer, and 1 FBXW7 mutation colorectal cancer patient. The treatment duration was robust, with 31% of patients with a treatment duration of greater than 16 weeks for an overall disease control rate of 68.5%. When we look specifically at patients with the resistant refractory ovarian cancer, we showed that at all dose levels, the overall response was 37.5%. When we look at patients treated at the potential recommended phase two dose, the overall response was up at 50%. Importantly, 80% of these patients experienced tumor shrinkage, and we observed durable response, and at least 37% of patients have been on treatment for greater than 16 weeks. Importantly as well, three additional partial responses have been observed since the data cutoff of 25th of March 2026. Interestingly, when we then limit the population to just patients with resistant refractory CCNE1 amplified ovarian cancer, the actual overall response improves out of 19 patients to 42.1%, and the overall response at the potential RP2D increases to 60%. We've also shown molecular responses using ctDNA studies that were observed across the different tumor types. So we observed a molecular response rate of 47% in all patients across all dose levels. And when we looked just at ovarian cancer patients, the molecular response rate went up to 67%. Because of strong in vivo synergy and durable regressions observed in both continuous and intermittent schedules of zetarestib, as well as population PK modeling of zetarestib exposure, suggesting that intermittent schedules may actually reduce the low-grade toxicities even more whilst maintaining efficacy, we are now looking at different schedules and dose optimization in multiple different tumor types, and that is currently ongoing. And so overall, we believe that this oral combination may provide a novel therapeutic option for patients harboring CCNE1 amplification, FBXW7, and PPP2R1A mutations across multiple different tumor types with high unmet clinical need. And based on these data, this combination of zetarestib and lunresertib has been granted FDA Fast Track designation in patients with ovarian cancer harboring CCNE1 amplification, FBXW7, or PPP2R1A deleterious mutations.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or you can listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology on the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the Journal of Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancernetwork.